Well, hello and welcome to another show and episode of Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor. I'm Jay Connor, your host and the Private Money Authority. Welcome you to another show here. And I got to tell you, we have got a movement going on. We're almost at 200,000 downloads and listens, and we're just excited to have you here. If this is your first time to the show, I want to give you a very, very special welcome. Here on the show, we talk about all things real estate investing, from single family houses to commercial to land. And even today, we're going to be talking about self-storage and how you can really automate this business and truly enjoy passive income in this world of real estate investing. If you've been tuning in over the past months, you know I have amazing experts and guests come here on the show, and today is no different. But before I bring on my friend and business colleague, I've got a free gift for everybody that's tuning in. You know, I'm known as the Private Money Authority, and the reason I am is because over 10 years ago, I was cut off from the banks with no notice, no way to fund my deals, and I was introduced to this wonderful world of private money, which has got nothing to do with mortgage lenders, institutions, or hard money lenders. This is private money, where we actually do business with individuals. So I've got an on-demand webinar ready for you to discover the five easy steps from going from no funding to over $2 million in funding right away, just like I did. So check it out right after the show. You can get right on over to www.jayconner.com/money podcast. And check out that on-demand webinar. That's www.jayconner.com/money podcast. Well, today I'm so excited to have my friend and business colleague, Mr. Fernando Angelucci, here on the show with me. And before I bring on Fernando, let me tell you just a little bit about him. First of all, he's way too young to be this successful. He is a 28-year-old senior managing partner of what's called the Titan Wealth Group, based out of Chicago, Illinois. Now, Fernando, he first read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad when he was only 16 years old. And shortly after that, Fernando started up his first business when he was only 19 years old while he was still at the University of Illinois. Well, when Fernando graduated and got his degree as in ag bioengineering back in 2013, he quickly went on to work for a Fortune 50 company. And while there, he started immediately investing in single-family houses. So by the age of a ripe young 23 years old, he was able to replace his income. And he exited the 9-to-5 rat race and began investing in single-family and multifamily properties full-time. So by the age he was only 24, he began purchasing self-storage facilities. And within 2 years, he started pooling funds from his investors to build ground-up Class A self-storage facilities. So today, folks, we're talking about self-storage. And welcome to the show, Fernando. How in the world are you doing, Fernando?
Hey, Jay. I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, man. Fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time to come here and be on the show with us today. So it's good to see you. We were just together at our Collective Genius Mastermind meeting a few weeks ago. Let's see, where were we? Down in Florida, I think we were together for that mastermind. So, Fernando, I'm excited. I've only had one other guest since we started up the show to talk about self-storage. So there's not many of you guys out there that are like in it full-time like you are. So let's jump right on into self-storage. But first of all, Fernando, before we do, tell my audience why it is that you're qualified to talk about self-storage.
Yeah, we're full-time self-storage investors. We're buying a new self-storage facility every 60 to 90 days right now. It's starting to trend toward every 30 to 60 days. And we're placing almost 100% leverage on a lot of our properties because of the very high appraisals that we're getting versus what the purchase prices are. We just started getting a lot of syndicated money following us. We haven't had to use it just yet. But yeah, everything's been going real well. We'd like to get to a point in the next 34 months, 35 months. We'd like to be at about a $60 million valuation on the company. So we're starting to trend in the right direction here.
Wow. So you've been doing this now for 4 years. How long have you been like totally focused full-time on self-storage?
About a year now. So I kind of step back and give you my history. So I first started out in the single family space as a wholesaler. Very quickly, I graduated up to my first multifamily building as a buy and hold investment. It was a 5-unit apartment building. And then I started to get all the type of issues that come along with being a landlord. That 1 a.m. calls because the toilet's running, you know, the evictions and the people not wanting to pay. And it started to really bear down on me. When I was looking at it, it didn't make a lot of sense long term for me. I'm more of a lifestyle investor. I want to invest not to be the richest guy out there, but just to have a really good life and have enough time to spend with my friends and family. So I started looking towards different avenues. And I was down in Indianapolis for a real estate expo. And that's when I met a mutual friend of ours, Scott Myers. And he basically showed me the way.
Right.
Yep. So from there, I started doing what I knew how to do, and that was putting self-storage facilities under contract and actually wholesaling them for much larger spreads than I was making in the single family and the small multifamily space. An opportunity came where a few of my old cash buyers that I worked with and good friends, they actually approached me and said, "Hey, we like what you're doing with the self-storage thing. We'd like to, you know, build a company with you. We have a lot of capital already at our disposal. You know, how would you like to do this full time and kind of, you know, slow down the wholesaling side of things and your multifamily, single family side?" I said, "Absolutely." So for the first 2 years, it was a lot of wholesaling self-storage facilities. And then once I got together with Guy, Ron, and Steven, then we started doing this full time and actually acquiring to hold long term, 15 plus years on each facility is the goal.
I got you. So how many different projects or self-storage projects, or you know, you talk about single family houses. What do you call the self storage? Is it a location? Is it a project? What is
it? Facility is what I like to call
a facility. I got you. Yeah. How many facilities are you involved in now?
Yeah, we're up to 6 right now. We have another 3 under contract, and then we have about 12 in the pipeline that are still being underwritten at the moment.
Wow. So when it comes to funding these deals, what percentage would you say are requiring for you to raise the capital, and what percentage will the current owners actually seller finance and carry the note?
Yeah, so it's interesting that you bring that up. We've had a hodgepodge of different setups to these deals. We've bought some deals cash just because we had to move very, very quickly. Other deals, we were able to structure 100% financing from the banks. So the banks actually paid us. We closed a deal a couple weeks ago in Hampton, Tennessee, that we walked away from the closing table with a $96,000 check. And we're working on one right now in Little Rock, Arkansas, where the bank is going to come in a first position at $550,000. And then the seller is going to carry back a second position for $200,000 at 0% interest for 5 years. So it's a mix of cash, seller finance. We always like to lean towards the seller finance because then we get to dictate the terms and, you know, really make sure that it works for us long term.
You just gave an example of what I do all the time. Like tomorrow, I'm closing on a deal. It's a single family house, big project over on the beach, but I'm buying the house and I'm coming home with like a $60,000 or $70,000 check. You know,
there
I mean, I like to get, I like to get paid. I like to get paid, you know, to buy properties. So that's pretty cool. So how do you find these deals, Fernando? I mean, where do you go? I mean, you're buying, you know, all over the place.
Right. Yeah. So we're currently buying in 24 states. The number one part of our marketing campaign always comes from what we know best, and that's direct to seller marketing. We will go ahead and send our criteria over to one of our data analysts. he'll put together a list of properties that meet those criteria. And primarily right now, our criteria are, has to be a mom and pop owner. So they can't be one of these large sophisticated REITs that's never going to sell to us, you know, sell to us at the prices that we need. They need to be in markets that are either in the Midwest, or if they're outside of the Midwest, they're low property tax states, because that's, as you'll see later on, it's one of the largest line item expenses we have here. And then, like I said, it needs to be a mom and pop owner. So when I mean mom and pop, what I mean is someone that's not a sophisticated, you know, investor. They usually are running these facilities as a secondary source of income. They don't have a lot of management efficiencies in place, and there's still an opportunity to bring these facilities to their highest and best use.
I got you. Now, when you say you send your criteria over to a data analyst, is that the same thing as a broker?
Correct. Right. So we use a brokerage company based out of Chicago, and they kind of have both sides. So I say, here's what I want. And then they will always come back and say, well, I think maybe if we approach it slightly differently, you'll still get the same results that you're looking for. So instead of me just buying a list and telling them what I want, I usually rely on their expertise as a data analyst and a data broker to tell me, here's what you really want, Fernando, based on what you're telling me. Here's the list that we can provide.
So what kind of criteria are you sending your brokers these days as to what you're looking for?
Yeah, so it's pretty easy. So I give them the list of states that I'm looking to invest in, and then I have them scrub out the top 100 operators in the business to get rid of all the really good professional players. I also have them scrub out the top 50 management companies. What you'll find a lot of the time is that there's a lot of these facility owners that they don't want to do the management themselves, so they'll hire these, you know, very efficient, very professional companies to manage their facilities for them. And as a part of that, one of the things they do is they recommend to their owners, you know, what prices to list or sell their properties at. Right now, the self-storage market, there's a lot of deals that are moving at 4.5 to 6.5, maybe 7.5% cap rates. Right now on our portfolio, we're averaging about 11.2% cap rate on the day one purchase. So I'm trying to almost double the market here as far as the cap rates go.
So let's simplify that a little bit. You talk about an 11 point something cap rate, a 6 point something cap rate. What does that mean to the non-sophisticated commercial investor so far?
Yeah. So it's just a percent return on the money invested. So if I buy a facility and after all expenses, it produces $6,000 a year and I paid $100,000 for that facility, that's a 6% cap rate.
There you go. Right. There you go. Excellent. So how do you decide on which states that you want to be investing in? Is that because of the tax rates?
Correct. So that's one of the two portions. First is we like to buy in the Midwest because there's a lot of value in the Midwest when it comes to commercial property. As soon as you start hitting the East and West Coast, you have a lot of hedge fund money, a lot of international money that you're competing against. And to them, they just want to beat inflation. So they're willing to pay much higher prices than what we're willing to pay. So that's one of the reasons we love the Midwest. Plus, I live in Chicago, so I can get anywhere in the Midwest within a couple hours jumping on a flight, so it's easier to touch all my facilities. The second criteria is, like you said, is the tax rate. Self-storage is one of those businesses where the amount of expenses, your highest expense on average is either going to be personnel or property taxes, depending on which states you're in. So I'm trying to lower those as fast as I can. Property taxes, the easiest way is just to buy in states that have low property taxes and then contest them when you do buy properties, saying, hey, I think you're taxing us too much. And then the second being personnel, we try to automate a lot of our facilities as much as possible, allowing people to rent online, rent through their phone, buy tenant insurance, buy locks, using little kiosks that almost look like ATMs outside the facility. So I won't need a full-time person there at, you know, costing whatever it would be for their annual salary.
So.